Welcome to Paint Ed. PCA provides painting contractors with connections they need to grow their business. To find out more and to become a member, visit pcapainted.org. Find more great content like this on PCA Overdrive. A subscription to the platform is included with membership. For all of you non-members out there, sign up for a free trial. PCA Overdrive is available on the App Store and Google Play. This episode is brought to you by Benjamin Moore and Sherwin Williams.
Welcome to Paint Ed. My name is Torlando. I am your host. So glad to be with you today. Let me adjust the mic real quick. Hey, turn me up in my headphones. Just kidding. I'm the one that's adjusting my headphones here. I got a great show for you guys today. We got Chris Kiefer from Booling on the show. We're going to be talking tech. You guys know I love tech with my my background in technology. Always trying to push the push the limits of innovation and bringing our industry into the 21st century here. You know, one of the things that I think about frequently is how the number one symbol of our full identity and what we do as painters is the brush, which is such an old school technology. I mean, the brush has been around for millennia. You know, I mean, they were probably using brushes in caves, you know, doing cave painting. And we still use it to this day, but we are in an ever-evolving landscape of tech and process and innovation. And, you know, when I think about how technology really started to infiltrate small business, and I'm talking about the process of moving from paper-based systems to software-based systems, a lot of where the world has come into is settling into this, you know, this phase of automating things and getting systems that are on rails and getting things to communicate with each other. But there seems to be this kind of like perennial conversation about, you know, do I use an all-in-one software? Do I use a software that, you know, just has little, you know, things that they're really good at? I remember having this, I saw this conversation in a thread in one of the Facebook groups. And, you know, I have my opinions. I'm curious what our guest has to say. But the one thing that I know about technology when implementing it into a business is that it can get complex. You can get tech overload. You could be stressed by tech, right? Are you feeling stressed by tech right now? If you are feeling stressed by tech, this is the conversation for you, because we're going to get into some fun things. I know that a lot of you have been thinking about this and trying to figure out the best tech stack. Maybe you are migrating from other systems. Maybe you are looking at the latest and greatest shiny object, figuring out if that's the right thing to you. One thing is for sure, you're sitting there thinking to yourself, there's got to be a better way. Your people are stressed. They're spending half their time on data entry. They're going through all these processes. It can be too much. And so I want to talk about these things. Before we bring our guest on, real quick, don't forget to subscribe to the show. Don't forget, make sure that you are listening on the daily. We got content coming out every day with our various hosts on the network. And if you want to watch this video, the video version, because I'll tell you what, this guy, Chris, he's a good looking guy. You're going to want to see this guy. He's got a good smile and good hair. So you're going to want to see him. Download PCA Overdrive, where you can get 600 plus hours of video content. It's $5.99 a month for non-members of the PCA, and it's free and included in your PCA membership. So I recommend becoming a member, because you get other cool benefits like discounts to Expo and other fun stuff. So make sure you do that. All right, without further ado, let's go ahead and start the show. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Kiefer, welcome to the show.
Hey, Thanks so much for having me, Torlando. Super, super pumped for this conversation. And thanks for the great intro. If you weren't already convinced, like, yeah, pay the $5 so you can see who this jokester is that's talking to you right now.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to have you on. I was very, very excited to see your company, you know, coming in as a key sponsor for the expo. Thank you so much. And the problem that you guys address, I think, is it's becoming mission critical. You know, there are a lot of folks out there who are you know, there's kind of two camps I see, and maybe you see a third, or maybe you see this, but I see the folks out there who they're not using technology at all still, and they're just dipping their toe, and it's a little confusing and it's a little scary, and they just need need help figuring out where to begin. But then you've got other folks who I feel like they've been doing this for a while, and they're on a system, and they're starting to get a little frustrated because maybe that system is not keeping up with the times, or maybe they are adding systems, you know, for like, I mean, we get the ads, we get sucked in, you know, a new tech product says, oh, I could do this, we could do this. And now you've got all these things to manage your business. You're paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars on tech. And it doesn't seem like life has gotten any easier. Actually, it seems like it's gotten more complex. Mm. So, am I off base here? Does that sound about right?
No, I would say that the main context for me and how I think about this, I was an engineer in school. I'm obsessed with technology. I was going to go work at Lockheed Martin and develop rockets. Like, that was my plan when I was in college. I graduated. My dad actually passed away when I was a junior in high school or college. And then, so when I, instead of going to Orlando to work for Lockheed Martin, I went home and was, got an engineering job back in Portland, Oregon. And because I wanted to be close to my younger brother who was in eighth grade at the time. And long story short, I hated it and decided to start a marketing company. Went from that marketing, like 6 years in doing that, my own thing. And then worked for Webfoot painting company out in Oregon. Mm-hmm. And was their first in-house marketing hire. Was there for 3 years. But I always had this thing in the back of my mind. I love tech. I'm obsessed with technology. I just was like, I'm so nerdy. Like, I've been nerdy since I could, you know, build with Legos and play with Kinects as a kid.
Sure.
And so there was this, as the marketing director at Webfoot, I started realizing, and I always knew I loved the tech side and the automation piece. And so there, I automated a lot of stuff while I was at Webfoot. And I just couldn't stop thinking about, like, there's got to be some way to do this. And, you know, long story short, about a year and a half ago, I left Webfoot on good terms, helped hire my replacement. Mm-hmm. And I started doing what I love doing, which is automating and using technology to serve the business owner and the people in the business, as opposed to feeling like you're getting overwhelmed by, like, there's hundreds of apps being developed every single day, AI is making it even more. So, like, for me, I'm looking at, like, I just got the Apple Vision Pro. Have you tried that out?
No, I haven't.
It's crazy. It's absolutely insane. And I'm like, 6 months ago, nobody even knew that this existed. And now this is like, how is that? Like, I just, the world is changing so fast. And there's me, like, I'm excited, you know?
Yeah.
But I also have been in the place of, like, this is chaos. I was in a painting company where we had 8 different applications that were doing different things. My whole interest in automating the painting world got started over a lunch conversation with our receptionist, who was telling me that she sends the same templated email 25 times a week to all of our customers. Right. And I was like, are you kidding me? They're paying you to do this? I mean, not that I want you to get paid, but, like, why aren't you, like, talking to customers or, you know, helping us get more leads or whatever? And she didn't like copying and pasting the same thing 25 times a day or whatever. It's like, so that's like, that's my, just so you know, like, my energy and our mission at Boolean is to free you up to do what you love.
Yeah.
That's like what I come back to is, I've got kids. Yeah. I don't like, you know, I don't like being driven or addicted to technology, and but I don't want to run away from it. The solution isn't to just push it all away.
Right.
The solution is to structure it in a way that actually frees you up for your time so that you can go spend time with your kids or go fishing or be a pilot or whatever you want. So that's my motivation.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And for the listeners who aren't familiar with web foot painting, that's a good company to come from.
Yeah.
Like a really good,
they were very well run. Travis and Gavin, super, super driven and just good people.
Yeah.
And when I joined, I won't say the revenue, but we basically doubled the business in the course of 3 years that I was there. Yeah. And they're like a monster company in Bend, Oregon.
Yeah.
If you drive in Bend, you're gonna see 4 or 5 Webfoot trucks on your way to the grocery store. Like they're all over Bend, Oregon.
Yeah, yeah. No, people know Webfoot. So that's cool. So you kind of got into this, you know, through there, and you saw at a high level of how complex the systems integration could be. The receptionist was saying there's got to be a better way. You were thinking there's got to be a better way. Our audience is thinking there's got to be a better way. So I have a feeling that you're here to tell us the better way.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Do you want to get into that?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's jump right in. So I think the first thing that I want to ask is what is kind of a typical, what we would probably call it in the tech world, a tech stack. What is a typical, what are the essential softwares that people need by category, I would say?
Yeah, I'm glad you said category. I literally sent an email to a client, a potential client beforehand, and because he was asking the same thing, and he was bringing all these apps to the table that they're investigating. Mm-hmm. And I said, don't worry about the technology. A lot of times people, like, they see a cool commercial or an ad on Instagram, and it's like the best painting thing or best app and technology that's ever happened to the painting world since sliced bread. And you're just like, oh my gosh, like I need it. And then you have this thing and you're like, now how do I use it? Yeah. It's like, okay, now we're trying to extract as much value. A better way, which you're already on it, and this is to be thinking about for everyone listening, is what functions does your business need to do well to grow this painting company that you're running? And so I have a list here, and it's in order almost like a customer journey. Uh-huh. But you need to have some marketing tools, list generation tools, a sales and CRM system, quote building, project management, accounting, phone systems, texting systems, learning management system, potentially as you get bigger and you're trying to scale training people. And then HR systems. And then lastly, the one that most people don't think about is you need a source of truth. So sometimes if you pick the right softwares, one of those softwares that you pick to run those other functions has the capacity to be the source of truth, which just means you can modify it and add in as many properties as you want. And then also you can read and write to that source of truth with ease. And that source of truth is what's going to give you the ability to automate a lot more stuff and also get better reporting in the business. Okay. So those are the, I don't even know how many there was. Did I say 10?
That's a lot. Yeah. Eight? Let's back it up. I'm a little overwhelmed hearing about that, because that's a lot of different systems. Are these all individual systems? Like, how do you feel about the all-in-ones? Talk to me about that, because
I'm so glad you brought that up, because this is a very strong opinion that is over time becoming a belief, and I'm pretty passionate about this topic. Mm-hmm. But base level, let's get on the same page. I do not believe that there is any perfect stack of softwares or individual softwares that is the way to run your business.
Okay.
So just right off the bat, just know, I like to joke and say I'm software agnostic. Mm-hmm. I don't care which ones you're using. You just need to be aware that everything in life has pros and cons. There's trade-offs, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So something might be really easy to set up, but it's not going to be as customizable. Or something could be super expensive, and it's got tons of features, but that can also be very overwhelming. or right. a waste of resources because you're optimizing something that is doesn't really need to be optimized anymore.
Right.
So just keep in mind that any tool is going to have trade-offs, and that the same thing goes for all-in-ones. I believe that people are seeking the all-in-one system because they're so overwhelmed with 8 applications that they're like, this is just chaos. The idea of adding a single one sounds horrible. So let's just get rid of everything and go back to just one.
Right.
But what they really want is they just want the apps to talk to each other. It's like, we're all so used to Apple, for example, of like, I get my phone and it's just like my messages are on my computer and they're in, like, I can go to my iPad and it ever, like my photos or what I just took on my phone is on my iPad. And we're like, why can't my app do that? Like, it, like I just put the customer in my CRM. Why do I have to put it into my quote software? And then I have to move it over to project management. It's like the reason that we feel there's a better way is because we literally interact with that better way on a daily basis.
Right.
And we're just like, come on, like, let's catch up to the way that it should be. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I when I think about my journey in tech, like I remember this moment probably 8 years ago, maybe it was about 9 or 10 years ago at this point. It was back when I was on the ladder, you know, brush in hand. And I just remember thinking, I got to figure out how to run my business from this little mini supercomputer in my pocket. And it started this kind of like journey of exploring technology to do everything that you've mentioned to talk about. And I remember even going to a friend of mine and who's a software developer and saying, I think I want to build an app to, to run my whole business from the palm of my hand. And of course, the first thing he said was, well, if you couldn't build an app, what would you do? Because I think he knew that I couldn't build an app at the time anyway. So I was like, well, I mean, I probably would just go on the internet and see if there's something out there. And that's how I got kind of my first, software deal where I was consulting them and helping them build a software for this. And it just started that journey of like, well, what about this tech piece? What about this tech piece? What about this tech piece? And it has gotten to that point where I've gone, you know, I'm spending so much money on software all the time and I'm not utilizing all of it. So what if I just scaled it back and made do and asked the question, how did we run business before there was technology? And the fact is a lot of it's just like paper-based workflows and, you know, phone calls and stuff like that. So like now I really use a lot of just Google Workspace for like most things. Like
some serious damage with some Google Sheets knowledge. You can do a lot of stuff. I've seen like, $20 million companies that operate out of Google Sheets. Recommend it, but it's possible.
Very possible. That's the thing. Well, I mean, enterprise companies run out of Google Sheets and Excel and stuff like that. So that was kind of my philosophy is like, well, if an enterprise can do a lot of functionality with spreadsheets, and so should I. But the inherent challenge in a spreadsheet is that it can very easily be designed poorly because it's a blank canvas. It's hard to understand other people's spreadsheets that they make. And certain software tools do a really good job of kind of creating a process for you. That makes sense, right?
100%. I would say I love that analogy of just focusing on Google Sheets because everyone has probably been in a Google Sheet or used Excel, and the architecture and the plan, the blueprint to how to structure, I would say that's the value, like the function, right. The ability to have cells auto populating and totaling things. That's not that hard. We can all do that. But the analogy, because we're in the painting world, so I'll give home service example.
Sure.
People will come to us all the time and they'll be like, hey, I have this app, this software, and this software. Can you zap this data over to here?
Right.
And it's like, I mean, yeah, absolutely. We definitely can do that. Can I ask a couple questions before we just jump in? And the reason, now going back to this analogy, is because if I was building a house and a friend of mine was a framer and I was like, hey, John, can you come over? We're building a new house. I got a bunch of lumber and I know you know how to, you know, frame. So could you just go ahead and put a wall right here for me? And when you're done with that, we'll put one over here too. And, you know, I'm just like on the fly, just throwing out walls.
Right.
And you know, it might take a week or a month or 5 months. I'm going to be really frustrated with John that he listened to me because he did exactly what I told him to do, which was put up a wall, that wall, that wall, that wall. And now I'm just like constructing a house with no plan of what I'm doing, how many rooms, where's the electrical outlets going. Nothing. And then, so when I'm like, hey, John, we need to build the second story, he's like, Chris, you didn't even build a foundation. And I was like, what the hell's the foundation? Why didn't you tell me about that? It's like, well, you just told me to build a wall. So I did what you said. And so that, like, I'm describing this thing, and you might be thinking as you're listening to this, that's insane, Chris. That's a stupid example. But that's exactly
what I'm doing.
That's exactly what you're doing. Yes.
Bit by bit, I'm just like creating this kind of kaludgy, like, you know, framework that's all cobbled together. And I'm not starting from a place of like, well, what does my overall system and model need to look like?
Yeah. And so, like, let's use this house analogy because it makes so much more sense to many of us.
Yeah.
Is like, there's people called architects, right?
Right.
And they architect, and they, a good architect, I don't know if you've ever gone through this process before, but a good architect is like, tell me about your family. Like, what type of stuff do you like hosting? How many kids do you have? You know, do you work from home? Do you like cooking? Like, how important is the kitchen to you? And depending on what you tell them your vision for this home is, like, there's a million ways to architect a house, right?
Right.
But if you do it like custom to your needs, and oftentimes, like, just with developers, like, we're getting the benefit of they spent millions of dollars on like, what are the best floor plans? Mm-hmm. And you get to look at like 10, right? Mm-hmm. And that, I think it's kind of a good analogy. That could be like an all-in-one system, right? Like, hey, we built this and it works for most companies and you're going to love it. But eventually, if you get big enough, you want a custom home. Like, there's a reason that custom homes are nice.
Yeah, it's the difference between a track home and a, you know, a spec home and a custom home. Like, I mean, I have a little bit more, I'm a little more opinionated on the one size fits all or the all in one solutions. I don't particularly care for them all that much because they do one of two things. Either they do a lot of things in a very basic manner, and it's not going to quite fit how you do it unless you conform to the system, or they do a lot of things in the most complicated manner, and you're never going to be able to figure out how to, you know, set it up for your company. Like Salesforce is like the example of this, right? It's just so complicated.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I would say the, like, on that train of thought, that's, I love that you said that. When you are, like, the reality is, you use the business life cycle as the same thing as like the different houses. Rarely does someone like get a house and then live in that house for 60 years, right?
Sure.
It evolves and your stuff, your tech changes as your business grows. So the reality is that if you're starting out on day one, like, an all-in-one is going to be amazing because you don't have systems, you don't have processes, you don't even know what to do. So getting some recommendations from your friends that are running a business and having success with the all-in-one tool is great. And I also think that all-in-one, because this is trade-offs, it's fantastic for giving you structure when you don't know what you don't know and you don't know what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be much more effective than trying to run a business from Google Sheets, from a blank canvas. Mm-hmm. However, as you grow, and my theory is that it's around the $2 million mark, that if you have a goal of surpassing two, just know that your needs are going to change. You can still, like, there's probably businesses that are $4 million or $5 million and running in an all-in-one system. But there is a point where it's like, I can tell you, like, a $10 million company, there's probably less than 1% of $10 million companies use all-in-one, like a single all-in-one tool, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The smaller you are, the more success you're going to have with that. But you need the customization and flexibility to pick and choose what you want as you grow. And the last thing I'll say on this, like, these tools. Like you said, most all-in-ones do a lot of things like, okay. Fantastic example of this. A client said they were using this all-in-one tool and they said that their communication and like with their team was struggling. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, like, do you have like a way to chat with your team? Have you guys ever used Slack or some other message chat, like communication tool like that? And they're like, oh no, the app has a chat feature. And I was like, oh really? Let me see. And it was essentially like you could text somebody back and forth. And it was just like a big bin of text messages flying all over the place.
Right.
And I said, okay, I won't name the software, but this software had 15 employees. The whole company had 15 employees and like 5 developers. Yeah. And so I said, they had like 18 different features and things that this tool did because it was all in one. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I was like, do you know that Slack, the company, has 2,500 employees and about 700 developers?
Yeah.
And they're solving chat.
Right.
And here's the kicker. It costs you $8 per user per month. Right. So you get access to a $1 billion chat tool for $8 a user per month. And it's like, and you're saying that your app all-in-one solves chat in the same level and depth with videos and channels and tagging people and all these features that we just, you know, take for granted. So that's an example of like one thing, but then you apply that to like accounting or quote building or any of this stuff. And you do have to be very intentional about what's the function I'm trying to solve and what's the best tool to solve that. And then the most important thing is integrations.
Right.
So like if you're going to use an all-in-one or any app for that matter, the first thing I tell everybody to look for is what does it integrate with? Does it integrate with Zapier or Make, or does it have an open API? And if it doesn't have that, run the other direction. It is not worth like the pain of not being able to automate data in and out of an app outweighs any feature or cool shiny object that's in the app.
Oh, hands down. Yeah, you're right. I last year I was on an app where I was pretty happy with it. It was a payment processor and offered a payment plans for customers. Pretty happy with it overall until it was time to do my taxes. And the stupid thing didn't integrate with QuickBooks. And my account was like, we can't use this. And that was it. You know, that was it. It was done. So those integrations are important. You know, this comment of the, you know, the multifunctionality or duplicate functionality, it is one that it's like, it's pretty nuanced actually, because I think about, you know, okay, do I use Slack? Or do I use this other messaging app that's kind of awful? Do I use text message? Or do I use like Google Chat, for example? Like Google Chat, honestly, Google Chat and Spaces, that's what I use. I stopped using Slack because it was just as good and I was already paying for it. Same with Zoom and Google Meet. Like, don't need to pay for Zoom because Google Meet, you know, it works just fine. So there's always this balance and fine tuning of what works for you and especially at the stage that you're in. The CEO of the CRM and automation tool Keep, he said this. He said that he pays attention to the ones and threes of business. So what you need at $100,000 in revenue changes when you get to $300,000 in revenue. And when you get to $1 million, the stuff that worked at $300,000, that stops working. When you get to $3 million, the stuff that worked at $1 million, that stops working. And it just keeps going from 3 to 10, from 10 to, you know, 30. Keeps going up that. And so the thing that is important for people to understand, and I know this, you know, having been in SaaS marketing, when I was running marketing for tech companies, I was looking at our target audience and I was informing our entire tech team and our product owners of what our specific market wants and needs. And I had to be very clear and direct with them. I say, hey, we cannot, because we just don't have the budget as a startup to market to everybody and to make a product that's going to work for everybody. We have to hone in on a specific target audience, which is marketing 101. Okay. Mm. And so they're doing this. They're saying, and what they're what's happening is they're saying, okay, my target audience is a paint contractor or a trade, somebody in the trades from 500,000 to 2 million. And they are not developing a software for a $3 million, $5 million, $10 million company. They're not developing a software for a $100,000 company. And they're not going to be forthright because the person who's trying to sell you the thing isn't going to tell you that you're out of market. But you might,
if they were smart, they would. They'd know their strengths and weaknesses and not hire an ideal client. But unfortunately, that doesn't happen.
Well, they have quota, you know, so they
exactly.
That's right. Okay, so tell me about the process of kind of building these systems, and so we kind of talked about choosing, and it's a bigger conversation, bigger than any one podcast can explain. But let's just say that we have a tech stack that we're somewhat happy with. How do we start the process of, you know, getting them to talk to each other?
Yeah. So first thing I want to say, and this is just like my belief of, I'm coming from like an abundance mindset. I have no secrets. You could ask me whatever you want. I'll tell you my honest answer. I created a YouTube channel, which had been a 15-year goal ever since I saw YouTube. I was like, oh, I want to make a YouTube channel. I didn't know what to make a YouTube channel on. It's called Boolean Automation. I posted my first video on there 4 months ago. And as of yesterday, we had 1,600 subscribers already. And it's literally automation for painting companies. I think I'm like, I know you get plaques from YouTube for it's spelled wrong. B-O-O-L-E-A-N.
My bad. Try that again. B what?
B-O-O. Boolean is the Boolean.
Okay.
B-O-O-L-E-A-N. But Boolean, yeah, Boolean Automation on YouTube. The reason I did that was because I just feel like technology is changing so fast. I want to try and teach and train as many people how to use all the tools that I use and to just the fullest extent possible. Yeah. I know that if I can put out $100 million in YouTube content value over the next 25 years of my life, I'll be fine. There's going to be enough people that are like, hey, Chris, we want you to do this. But I genuinely, it's like people have asked me, friends are like, oh, you probably like give them like 10% of the good stuff. I'm like, no, literally, like I am trying as fast as I can. I post a video every day to be like, check out what I just learned how to do with this and the next thing and then whatever. So everything that I know how to do, I'm in the process of trying to put online. And if you have ideas of like, hey, could you teach me how to integrate this and this? Send it over to me. I'll make a video about it.
Yeah.
So that's like, again, just framing what the process though. So like if you're wanting to just dabble and kind of learn more about what I'm talking about or any of these things, go look at that. But the process is, number one, you have to get a blueprint. And a blueprint has a couple pieces. The first thing is you need to take inventory of all of the data points that you need to run a business, a painting company. Mm-hmm, and what I mean by that, like a data point would be like, I need a first name, I need a last name, I need email, I need an address. Like it's kind of boring and it's not that hard. It just takes time. Like use Google Sheets and write down, what does my accounting, like literally go ask your accountant, what do you need to know at the end of a job to job cost this for me? They're going to need estimated materials and number of hours. Like all these things are known. You just got to go get them and then put it into a document. Then you have to look at where do those various data points show up across the apps that you're using? Because a lot of times we just have like our CRM that has all the contact information, but our project management system calls it like customer name instead of first and last name. So that could maybe cause some problems, right?
Right.
Or like it says address and then work address in your CRM, but in your project management, it says job site address. It's like, which one's the right one? You know, so it's like, that's the part of data blueprint, like map out, what do you need? Where does it show up? And also be particular about like, are these multi-select fields, date fields, all that type of stuff. So that's like step one. We do that all day long. And I've put out content of like how to get started with that. You can go check that out. After that, you then need to actually start building the automations and connecting things. So, you know, like you have your, or sorry, the last piece of data blueprint, almost forgot, is software audit. So do all the take inventory of what you need, then look at what apps exist that could solve those problems and make sure that all the apps you're currently using integrate well. Because if you have an app that doesn't integrate well, you might not think it's a problem today, but it's better to figure that out now than in 6 months.
Right.
So data blueprint, map out the properties, all the apps, do an audit, make sure it works for you. Second step is build out the automations and then come up with a plan on how to train people how to use everything. I like to say the automations or automation in general just makes your business more efficient. But if you don't have processes, it'll just make it more efficiently bad.
Right.
You have to have processes. And then the automation automates the given business process.
Yeah.
The next part is implementing a source of truth, which maybe is one of your tools. And I should also say, you might be listening to this and be like, I don't need a source of truth. It's like, you're probably right for a $1 to $2 million company having really streamlined reporting and a bunch of sophisticated automations isn't a pain point yet. But just know that when you get to 7, 8, 10 million, getting like a 0.5% and better on your marketing spend is tens of thousands of dollars, right?
Right.
So the need for optimization grows as you scale. So the second step was building the automation. Third step, getting that source of truth in place. And then the last step is like you turn everything on and you actually, you know, have, you're eliminating data entry. But that's like how we think about it, is like ultimately what everyone wants is get rid of the manual data entry and duplicate data entry. But if you jump straight to that, you're going to, like I said, you could, a framer can successfully build a wall with no plans or foundation and it'll work. You could actually live in it for a while if you wanted.
Sure.
But you're going to have a lot of problems sooner or later. And so my recommendation would be slow down, make a plan and think like, how big of a company do you want to be? Like legitimately, how many business owners have you met, Orlando, that are like, oh, so what's the goal in 3 years? They're like, I don't know. I'm just trying to get another job for tomorrow. Then there's a phase of your business where that's needed, right?
Yeah.
You have to have revenue to even dream. But if you're going to sell it or whatever, like you have to figure that out first.
Yeah. And there are some people who have an idea of what they want, but they don't know the full, you know, there's a little bit of a be careful what you wish for when it comes to size of company.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to a degree, I would say like plan your company around like, you know, what you need to make for your income and figure out the best way to do that, you know, meaning that, you know, the goal isn't revenue, and we'll figure out profit in the end. Yeah. To me, the idea is we have to figure out the optimal, you know, throughput of sales.
Yep.
And
what's your take home? What's the net?
What's the take home? Yeah. What's, you know, what do I need? Because the more you grow, the more complex this becomes. And as you're talking about, you know, these systems, it's just dawning on me on how big of a task this actually is. And so, you know, if you're trying to DIY it, if you're tech savvy, I think that you can, you know, figure it out. But, I think that help could be in order.
Mm-hmm.
You know, finding
there's help. A book called Who Not How by Dan Sullivan. Have you read that?
I have actually. It's been a
Who
while.
Not How
I
is have, yeah. love. I love, love that book. But right. The world teaches us from grade school on up, we're presented with a problem, figure out how to solve it. Mm-hmm. Problem, how do I solve it? Problem, how do I solve it? As a business owner, an entrepreneur, that's not how you should be tackling problems. You should see a problem and be like, who do I know that could take care of this problem better than anyone else? Mm-hmm. And when the people that get big and efficient and get themselves out of their business so they can work on it, they find the how or they find the who's that are needed to manage their teams and build their tech and, you know, do their accounting, like find the who. Like, yes, you're capable. If you're trying to prove something to somebody, acknowledge it. Mm-hmm. But if you can step back and say, what do I love doing? What am I good at? And then let me outsource everything else. That's the way I think about it.
So I get the sense that you're one of these who's that can help us out.
I'll tell everybody, my zone of genius is literally technology, automation, specifically in painting. Mm-hmm. If someone was in, an electrician. I got a lot of opinions and ideas to get them started, but I have found that when I stay in my lane and do one thing really, really well, I'm able to help way more people way more effectively and faster, way faster. Sure. Like we do stuff at Boolean that took me 18 months to 2 years to do at Webfoot. We can do it in 30 days.
Yeah.
So it's like the speed because of our templates and processes, and we already know the problems that you don't even know you have yet.
Right.
Because we're so niche in painting. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's pretty attractive because if you're operating off of a playbook that, you know, was partially coming out of your experience at Webfoot, then you can be sure that working with you is going to get you on the right track. If people do want to work with you, tell us a little bit about how we get in touch with you and what you actually offer.
Yeah. So, I always say you can go to the helloboolean.com website. So that's hello and then BOOLEAN.com. That's our company website. And if you're interested in knowing what I'm up to, I have my personal website is chriskiefer.com. That's K-I-E-F-E-R, but chriskiefer.com. I have a podcast, my YouTube channel. I'm pretty mission-driven, purpose-filled person. And so my podcast is called The Pursuit of Purpose, and I love interviewing entrepreneurs that are passionate about, you know, different topics. So, I'll close with this quick story. Last week, there's a guy, his name's Russ. I won't say the name of his company, but Russ, if you hear this, you'll know who I'm talking about. He told me that it wasn't like he has wanted to be a pilot his entire life. And he said that I was like maybe was a third or fourth person he's told this to. And we've been working together for about a year now. He's got a $3 million painting company, and he thinks that they can take it to 10 and remain super profitable and whatnot. And he said, it wasn't until I started working with you, Chris, and things started getting easier in my business that I actually thought this could happen. And so now he's like taking steps towards, I told him, I'm going to have him on my podcast. So if you guys go check out The Pursuit of Purpose in about 2 months, you'll hear Russ's story. And I said, before you're on my podcast, you better go take a test flight. You need to go explore some private pilot schools. But that's what it's all about. Our mission is to free you up to do what you love. Russ loved flying, loves flying, wants to. And it's like, that's why I do what I do, is because we've all got dreams and families and things that we want to do. And usually it's not, you know, copying and pasting data into 5 different applications. There's robots that do that stuff for us.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being a guest, Chris. I hope to have you on again.
Yeah, this was super fun. Thanks to Orlando and everybody else. Hope this was valuable. I'd love to know, what did you enjoy? If you have questions, what else do you want to know? Because I'm looking for content ideas all the time and happy to share everything that's in my brain that was learned from others as well. So thanks, Orlando.
All right. Thank you. All right. There we have it. Chris Kiefer with HelloBoolean.com. Great conversation. Glad that he was able to be on. This topic of technology, it's one that has always been kind of interesting to me. And I think there are ways to overcomplicate things. I think there are ways to simplify. The future of technology is changing. That's for sure. I've been messing around a lot with AI and using that in different ways. I could tell you that even last night I was putting in pictures of rooms and coaching the AI how to put together a price estimate based off of the picture itself. And it was close. I'm not going to say it was accurate, but it was close. And so, we need to understand that these things are coming. You can either create a system where you're kind of a slave to the technology, where you end up being the person that's kind of turning the technology crank and spitting out these widgets and pushing buttons mindlessly, or you can put technology to work for you. And that's what I'd say is the goal of technology. The big caution that I would impose upon you is that the the business model of most technology platforms is a recurring monthly offer. Okay, they are incentivized. These tech companies earn money, or rather they can finance or they raise money from investors based on the premise that they're going to be able to charge you a monthly fee. And so when you as a business owner, especially in a seasonal painting business, are adding and adding and adding these monthly fees to your cost structure, if you're not careful, you could be giving away all of your profits to technology and automating and delegating and have nothing to show for it in the end. And so if you're not careful about the return on the investment and making sure that at the very least that you're taking care of your family, then I would say be careful. Figure out how you can use your time as opposed to automating everything. But again, if you're sitting there sending, 20 emails by hand, every day, then let's automate that. Great conversation. Glad that Chris was willing to come on the show. Excited to see him down in Orlando at the expo. I definitely recommend checking out his YouTube channel. I'm going to check it out as well. While you're there, make sure that you check out the Craftsman Painter channel on YouTube, where I am doing bi-weekly sprint retrospective seminars. Every 2 weeks, I'm coming out with a new business topic, and I am doing deep dives on this stuff, okay? I am not pulling back any punches. I am not dumbing this content down. I am taking MBA level themes and research, and I am bringing it and applying it directly to painting. Okay, that's the value that is on that is on the Craftsman Painter channel. We'll make sure that every Thursday at 1 p.m. that you tune in, or every other Thursday, because I am producing this on a bi-weekly basis. Make sure you subscribe to my channel and turn on the notifications for when those come out. Last thing I'll say is that, if you're interested in what we're doing at the Craftsman Painter Collective, go to craftsmanpainter.com/collective. We're a brand. We give you a plan and a helping hand to grow your business. This has been great. Love what you guys are doing. Keep up the good work. You're making a difference in people's lives. Till next time, this has been PaintEd.
PaintEd podcasts are produced by the Painting Contractors Association and are made possible by members and industry partners. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PCA, visit pcapainted.org.